This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The next hadith goes as such. And this is the hadith of Abu Ruqayyah. So Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, عن أبي رقية تميم بن أوس الداري رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. So on the authority of Abu Ruqayyah, Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. Now just a little bit about the Sahabi, who is Tamim al-Dari? Look, Tamim al-Dari رضي الله تعالى عنه was one of the Sahaba who accepted Islam later on, meaning towards the end of the life of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. However, despite that, he had an honor which no other Sahabi has, period. Okay? Tamim ibn al-Dari, he has an honor which pretty much no other Sahabi, no recorded Sahabi has this particular honor, to our knowledge. And that is that everyone narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, but the Prophet narrated from Tamim. So there was an actual hadith in which the Prophet said that Tamim told me, and then he mentioned the details. That's a hadith of one of the hadith related to Dajjal, the hadith that is known as the Hadith al-Jassas. I have a lecture online about Dajjal in which I spoke about this hadith as well. The hadith is known as the Hadith al-Jassasa. It's a long story. If you can type it in on Google or watch my lecture, you can probably find details on that subject therein. Okay? But the point of the matter is that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated it from Tamim, so this makes him a very distinguished Sahabi. In that way, it's basically clearly saying the Prophet believed him to be a very righteous and truthful person for him to be narrating from Tamim ibn Aws ad-Dari. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-Din al-Nasiha." Deen happens to be sincere advice. Now before we go on to even the rest of the hadith, what does the word nasiha mean? Okay? The ulama, they said that nasiha is a very, very comprehensive term. It includes doing everything for the person for whom you have nasiha, doing every form of goodness for that person, and wishing all forms of goodness for that person as well. Okay? So it's a wish for goodness, and it's also an action of goodness as well. So it's not only advice, it's more than advice. And that's why the translator here, as you can see, he says nasiha, advice, and sincerity. So the word nasiha, even though many times it's translated only as advice, it doesn't mean only advice, it also means sincerity as well. So being sincere for a person in every which way, with your intentions and also in your actions as well. Every form of sincerity that you can have for whoever you have nasiha for, or whatever you have nasiha for, that's what nasiha means. Okay, every form of goodness. So, al-nasiha. I'm going to come back to the word nasiha a little bit more in a little while, but let's read the rest of the hadith. قُلْنَا لِمَنْ. We said, for whom are we supposed to have this nasiha? قَالَ لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَّتِهِمْ. He said, for Allah, for the Book of Allah, for the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for the leaders of the Muslims, and also for the general masses within the Muslim Ummah as well. Okay? So these are the categories for whom you're supposed to have nasiha. Let's try to implement this nasiha onto each one of these categories. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we have nasiha for Allah? How do we have sincerity for Allah? Well, the way to have sincerity for Allah is to obey Allah whenever Allah commands us. To listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever Allah prohibits us from something. To understand the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. When we have the Qur'an before us, the way we have nasiha towards the Qur'an is that we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book says, and then we implement this book. That's a part of nasiha for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also for the book of Allah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam also specified the book of Allah. Okay? So that we have nasiha for the book of Allah. How are we going to have nasiha for the book of Allah? A, read the Quran. Okay? وقال الرسول يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. One of the things that will happen on the Day of Judgment is that the Messenger will say that, oh my Lord, my people have taken this book as something which they have left behind and migrated away from. Okay? This will be something that the Prophet ﷺ will be saying to Allah on the Day of Judgment, that the people within his ummah have migrated away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, they have left the book, they're no longer reading this book, they're no longer concerned with this book, they're no longer worried about the message in the book, they're no longer worried about any of these things. قَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ. So, we're supposed to have nasiha for Allah, his book as well, and also his messenger. How do we have nasiha for the messenger? We sincerely believe in him. We believe him as well. This is also very important. Meaning, we put our intellects aside. When the Prophet is telling us A, B, C, and we know it's authentic, we accept it. We don't use our intellects therein. وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And also for the أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. For the leaders within the Muslims and the scholars within the Muslims as well. How do we have sincerity for the leaders, or how do we have sincere advice for the leaders? Well, we have sincerity for the leaders by obeying the leaders in those things that happen to be from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have sincerity also for the leaders that we tell them, encourage them. We encourage the idea that Allah should not be disobeyed neither by the followers of the leader nor also by the leaders as well. And that leadership should always be contingent upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided to and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided to. وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَّتِهِمْ. And also the general masses within the Muslims as well. We have to have sincerity for the general masses. How do we have sincerity for the general masses? Do something for society. Everyone's going to have a different calling within society. You find your calling and you work by it. It could be that you're going to be helping orphans. It could be that you're going to be feeding people. It could be that you're going to be helping the needy. It could be that you're going to be a donor. It could be that you're going to be donating blood. It could be anything. But the point of the matter is that we're supposed to have nasiha for the general masses as well. And there are many, many ways to have this nasiha. Now, all of this is, of course, we're talking here about sincerity. But there's also the connotation of advice within this as well. So when we give advice, we could give advice potentially to leaders. We could also give advice to followers as well. And to the general masses of the ummah as well. How do we give this advice? To understand that, I want to take another look at the word nasiha. The ulama, they mentioned that the word nasaha actually means to sow something. Okay? The deeper meaning of the word nasaha is to sow something. So if your thobe, if your garment is ripped, you're going to sew the garment. That means the way you would say that in Arabic, or one of the ways you would say that in Arabic, is nasahtu thoba. I have sewed my garment. The reason why this is important is because the purpose of this nasiha to the thobe is to sew the garment so that it goes back together. Okay? Now, sometimes people end up giving advice to others in a way where there's more harm that is caused than goodness. Okay? So they're not actually doing nasiha, which means to sew something and put things back together. Okay? And that's the reason why that's one of the reasons why the Prophet ﷺ used the word nasiha. And that is that when you're giving advice to people, it's not just about getting it off your chest. Maybe that is actually a personal, you know, mental issue that you have that you need to sort out, that you just want to get things off of your chest and feel lighter. Okay? That's a personal problem that you need to solve. But you're not actually doing nasiha. Real nasiha will be nasiha with which you actually solve something. Okay? With which you actually come to a conclusion. I'll give you an example from my personal life, and through that you can get an idea. A few months ago, I was at a gathering. And in this gathering, there was a number of different people. They were there discussing some things. One of the persons who is otherwise a person of knowledge made a very serious mistake that either he did not intend or he had forgotten or something else of that nature. Now, I have an opportunity to then and there make a correction. But I know that it could be taken completely wrong. Okay? And what I mean by that is it could cause rift, it could cause problems, it's going to decrease the status of the person. Maybe the person is going to actually do the opposite of, instead of accepting, rejecting the truth, which will be even worse. Okay? In front of people and so on and so forth. So, I let that pass, and a few days later, I messaged the individual and I said to them that, dear blessed Sheikh, in our gathering, such and such happened, and I heard ABC from you, and I searched the books of the ulama and I could not find where this particular opinion is. Could you kindly give me a reference so I can benefit from your knowledge? Now, I know without a shadow of a doubt, from the moment that I heard, it's not only wrong, it's khilaful ijma'. It's against the consensus of the scholars. But if I correct the person in a very direct way, he may end up rejecting the truth. So instead of me correcting him, I kind of lower him into his own correction. Now, when he goes back to the books of the ulama, he has an opportunity between himself and the books in the privacy of his own library or his own room to correct himself. Do you understand? I'm giving you just one example of how you can correct someone. I'll give you another example. I'm going to be meeting someone in a few months, and I read a book of theirs, and inside of the book I found a mistake, a very serious mistake. So I have been thinking about this matter for many months. How can I correct this person without the person getting offended? Okay? So finally I devised a plan. Oh, inshallah it works, make dua, it works, because I haven't met the person yet. But I thought to myself that I'm going to write something of my own that says ABC in this way, and I will bring it to the attention of the Shaykh and I'll say, I wrote this, what do you think about it? Because it's such an obvious mistake that he would probably understand that it's a mistake as well. So instead of me pointing it out in his book, I let him come to it through my works. He can criticize me, I don't mind. Because the purpose is not our egos, the purpose is what? The purpose is sincerely correcting someone. There are people out there, they just want to flaunt their egos, and their goal is to bring everyone down. Their goal is not to correct human beings. Their goal is not that the things are corrected. Their goal is that, how can I make myself proven to the world? This type of a person is not moving forward in correcting people and giving sincere advice to people in the right way. Okay, correcting people is an art. You need to think about it. You need to ensure. One of the Salaf, he was sitting around and someone came to him, and he kind of went and privately spoke to him in the corner alone. And he said to him that, I saw such and such from you. Now he could be doing this in front of people as well. Even the gathering was a public gathering. He took him aside and he said, I have to speak to you about something. Now when that individual got back to his gathering, the people started to ask him, what was he talking to you about, right? And through his humility, actually said, he told me ABC and I was wrong in this, and he corrected me. But notice the manner of the one being corrected and the manner of the one who was corrected. So when you're giving nasiha to people, you never give nasiha in a very direct way. You're going to offend the person, you're going to destroy a relationship, you're going to have a lot of things that... Okay, if you want to give it in a direct way, that can also happen, and sometimes that's necessary as well. But the general advice and what normally works is that you do it indirectly, and many, many people, they end up accepting when you do it indirectly, and sometimes people will not as well. And we'll come to that and how we deal with that as well. Okay? So Abdullah ibn Mubarak used to say that in the past, when people would see from their brother something that was that they would dislike, they would go and tell them in private, and they would stop them in private. So they would be rewarded for the privacy, and they would be rewarded for whatever command or whatever forbiddance that they gave to the individual, whatever commandment or whatever prohibition they shared with the individual. But today, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak is talking in the time of the Tabi'in. He says, today I see that when someone notices something wrong with someone, he finds every way to enrage the individual with that wrong, and he finds every way to unveil the sitr that Allah has placed, the veil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. Okay? Don't unveil the mistakes of people, don't reveal the mistakes of people. Today we have a culture that is very, very toxic, where people take to Facebook and Twitter about any mistake of anyone. Let people go. Especially if they're people of knowledge, let them go. Okay? Especially if they are people who are righteous, let them go. If they're making one mistake or two mistakes, that's okay. Some of the Salaf in the past, they used to say the definition of a scholar, by the way, they would say, is that most of the times he's right, sometimes he makes mistakes. They said this is the definition. The definition of a jahil is most of the times he's wrong, sometimes he gets it right. So you see, 95% of things are okay, 1, 2, 3%, there's something going on. Let that go. Let that be. And maybe, just maybe, humble yourself a little bit. Maybe, just maybe, you think it's wrong, but it's really not. That's also a possibility. Okay? So keep that possibility, open that door. This is of course for the A'immatul Muslimin, for the leaders of the Muslims. And this, by the way, also goes to into politics as well. Because today people, some people, they have opinions on politics. And they believe that those opinions on politics were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Like their opinions on politics are like gospel truth. So if you're wrong against them, then you're part of the right wing or the left wing, and you're part of this wing and that wing, and you're khalas, you know, you're off the manhaj, the political manhaj. Okay? So we say that even politics, that's why we're talking here about nasiha. You have a nasiha, give your nasiha. Perhaps you may be wrong, perhaps someone else may be right. Give people some room to breathe, because you don't know if you're 100% correct on what you are on, just as the other person doesn't know if he's 100% correct on what they are on. Okay? And last but not least, to sum it all up, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he used to say that a believer, so he's considering this a mark of a believer. He said, a believer veils and then he sincerely advises. Whereas a fajir, a person who is a sinful individual, he unveils and he also criticizes as well. Okay? If your whole life is criticism and unveiling the lives of people and the opinions of people and so on and so forth, then you know what? According to Fudayl ibn Iyad, you are committing fujur. If that's all you're doing with your life, okay? A believer advises and also veils. If there's mistakes, veil them. And Imam al-Dhahabi used to have a very famous statement to this effect, and he would say that if we let every single person go who makes one mistake or two mistakes or three mistakes, we just let them go and throw them in the garbage and basically chuck them away, then he said, we wouldn't have any scholar in history left. We wouldn't have any person in history left. And I can say, in extension, if we were to also, within our lives as well, let every single person go just because they made one mistake or two mistakes, we wouldn't have anyone left within our lives as well. People make mistakes. The Prophet said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ or كُلُّ بْنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ, different riwayat. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, the best of the people who make mistakes are the ones who correct themselves. Before that, he said, every child of Adam makes mistakes. So recognize that mistakes will all be also always be there. You want to give advice, Bismillah, but you want to criticize and unveil and spend your entire life doing this, well, according to Fudayl ibn Iyad, you're not doing the right thing, and that's not what a believer does.